Do all things without grumbling or disputing. I could just say that right now, and there's probably a few people here that need to repent right now. We have a tendency to complain and grumble, don't we? We'll see that. And we are not to do so as believers. We are not to do so, as we'll say.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
Greg, you often talk about examining yourself to see if you're in the faith, but what does that actually mean?
Well, Dave, what it means is that there's a counterfeit faith out there. There's one that looks like the real deal, but in reality is not. And so with that in mind, let's get to our passage today where we're going to see that doing all things without complaining and disputing is an evidence of a true saving faith. So then let's turn on our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verse 16.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
What is it that you hold on to? What is it that you cling to? What is it that your heart sets its desires upon? Some people cling to money. Some people cling to family. Some people cling to their careers. Some people cling to education, friends, hobbies, whatever it might be. What do you cling to? What does your heart spend the most time focused on? Well, although some of those things are not bad and are God-given, today we're going to see that we as believers are to be holding fast the word of life. We're to be giving our attention and clinging to the word of life. And that brings us to what we're going to see today, how we are to live the Christian life as we work out that salvation that God has worked in. So would you turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2? We're going to be looking specifically at verse 16 today, but we'll be reviewing up to where we are in this portion of this wonderful passage. Now, again, Philippians is a wonderful book. The Apostle Paul is writing to those he loves, their beloved brethren. And he is writing to them about 10 years after he had the tremendous privilege of sharing the gospel with them and bringing about this church in Philippi. He's very close to them, and they're very close to him. And he has revealed his thankfulness to God for God's past work in them and his confidence that God will complete that work until the day of Christ Jesus. And he has prayed for them that their love for Christ would abound in real knowledge and discernment, that they would be able to approve the things that are excellent, to walk righteously in a sense. And we see that the Apostle Paul made it clear that the circumstances that he was encountering, his imprisonment, had turned out for the better, for the cause of the gospel going forth, rather than it being restrained, which some might have thought. Within that, he shared, really ultimately, that he wanted his life to magnify Christ in whatever means. The Apostle Paul was about to go before Caesar, and the potential was that he could be executed. And so he shared, to live is Christ and to die is gain. To live, it's more important to stay on to minister faithfully in the Lord's power and strength to the Philippians, and to die is gain because it's much better to be with the Lord. All things he desired that Christ would be magnified. And then we saw his sharing of the Philippians' condition. And he goes to them what they should be doing, that they should be walking as heavenly citizens in a manner worthy of the gospel. They're to stand firm, striving together for the truth of the gospel, not afraid of the opposition, which is a sign to them that they are on their way to glory, and to their opposition that they're on their way to destruction. And then we saw how we are to maintain unity together in the body of Christ in chapter 2. We saw what that looks in practice. We are to do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. But in contrast, we are to regard others as supreme above ourselves, surpassing, superior. We are to be scoping out ways to regard one another as more important than ourselves. And how is it this can be done? How can we have such an attitude, we sinners redeemed by God's grace? It is only when we have the mind of Christ functioning within our hearts that we can do so. We are to have this mind in us, which was in Christ Jesus. That although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he humbled himself, right? Taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. He was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. The mindset of Jesus Christ that saw us as more important, saw the Father's will as more important than his for our benefit out of the context of love. And within that, the humility of obedience all the way to the point of death for our behalf. And then we saw because of that, he was exalted and given the name that's above every name, that the name Jesus possesses. At his name, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And within that, having been exalted, we came to the implications of that exaltation for every believer. That we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That working out is obedience, just as they have always obeyed. Work out your salvation. It's sanctification. Allow it to function. Allow God's word that's in you to function in your behavior. Because God is at work in you. And then last week we saw the first real application of working out our salvation. Doing all things without grumbling and disputing. So how are we to live the Christian life? I think specifically we're going to see the next portion of this, which reveals that we should be holding fast the word of life. Now let's read our passage. I'm going to read back to verse 12 and read up through it again so we can see it all together. Let's start with verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And here's what we saw last week. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. And now our passage, which is connected, you'll see that. Holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may have cause to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. Now, the text keeps going. It just keeps going to the end of the book. That's how Paul writes. He writes on and on and on. It's wonderful, inspired by the Spirit. And yet, I wanted to do verses 17 and 18 also, but we would have been here an extra hour. So we're just going to stop at 16. But be aware, it does transition slightly to 17 and 18, and even transitions after that point as he talks about Timothy. So what have we seen already? First of all, we need to review what we saw last week because it is crucial. Because as you notice in verse 16, it starts with the word holding fast. Therefore, it hangs on something that's been said before. And so we need to understand that and be reminded of it. And it's so important if you'll remember what we saw last week. Look at verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. I could just say that right now. And there's probably a few people here that need to repent right now. We have a tendency to complain and grumble, don't we? We'll see that. And we are not to do so as believers. We are not to do so, as we'll say. You see, in verses 12 through 13, we are to bring out our salvation to its ultimate conclusion, to work it out in the context of fear and trembling. We are to obey, and within that, it is in the context of humility and dependence. We're to work it out, because God is at work in us. God is working in us by his Spirit through his word, and that should manifest in us faith and then obedience, the obedience of faith. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. And so we have God at work in us, and he's doing this to his own will and to his own good pleasure, those things that please him. It's a wonderful thing that God is doing. And then we have the first application or real direct command concerning this working out of our salvation. Very practical command. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. It said this is one of the most disobeyed New Testament commands in Scripture, and I would agree. Indeed, we saw last week, we are to keep on doing everything without grumbling and disputing. The implication is the Philippians were doing that, but they needed to continue to do that. They were obeying, just as you have always obeyed, now not only in my presence, but in my absence, Paul says. The reality is we as believers will have changed lives if you are a real believer. You're going to be different than the world. You're not going to continually habitually sin like you used to. But we can fall into these patterns and we are tempted to do so. And we are exhorted to keep on doing all things without complaining and grumbling. Do you remember what we saw, what grumbling was? Grumbling is our verbal expressions of discontent or displeasure, often accompanied by feelings of annoyance and anger. It can be through your lips or it can be under your breath, right? It comes from the heart. That's grumbling. It's an expression of dissatisfaction or complaint. And it is contrary to who we are in Christ, because if you are trusting Christ, you realize He is sovereign and in control and working all things together for good. And we grumble about a lot. What do we complain about? Just about everything, right? Well, the world does, but we are not to. We are not to. There's not one area in our lives we are allowed by God to grumble about. There's not one area in our lives we are allowed to complain about. And when we do so, we are sinning. This idea of complaining here or grumbling can be translated murmurings, grumbling, complaining. And folks, do I need to talk about complaining? We understand that, right? I mean, just watch TV, right? And watch the news. I mentioned this last week. Everything that is said is a complaint against somebody or something, right? There's something going on in every situation. The world grumbles and complains all the time. Okay, so that's grumbling, but what is disputing? What is disputing? The term dialogismos, we get our word dialogue from that. Now, certainly, within that, it's not speaking of conversations that we have with one another. It's in a negative context. The word is often translated evil thoughts or reasonings. It's that thing going back and forth in your head when it's evil. The Lord Jesus shared that. It's also translated disputes and arguments and quarrels. That are those things that come from evil reasonings. Disputes, arguments, quarrels. Comes from wrong thinking that is self-focused and wants things the way we want it. It is the opposite of what we saw back in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. It's the opposite of this. Make my joy complete in being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent in one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. This argumentation, or whatever it might be, disputes, disputing, it's negative dialogue characterized by arguing, which comes from wrong, selfish thinking. And we all know what it is, but we are never to have it happen in our lives. And I hope this week you've been convicted by the Word of God when you were tempted to argue, when you were tempted to grumble. I hope so. If you weren't, I don't know where your heart is at, to be honest with you, after last Sunday. We need to be convicted and allow our hearts to be conformed to the image of God as we allow God's Word to conform our thinking. We are to do all things continually without complaining and arguing. Now, we know, again, the Philippian believers were obeying. He says, continue to do it. Continue to do this. Continue not to be that way. They're real believers. They're real believers. If you find yourself complaining and arguing all the time, I'd tell you, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. There has to have been a time when you were walking with the Lord if you came to faith. And then maybe you were hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Even baby believers are sensitive to sin when they come to faith. More so than some mature believers. Do all things without complaining and arguing. You remember we saw how serious this sin is? It's a serious sin. And we need to raise our level of understanding of how serious this sin is. Now, I'm not going to go into the Old Testament passages I shared in Numbers and Exodus, but I want to go to 1 Corinthians just to remind us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Because God has written things in the Old Testament to instruct us. If you look at the history of the nation of Israel, we are instructed what not to do. Yes, there was a remnant, but by and large, they were in unbelief. And that nation gives us a picture of what we should never be like. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and passed through the sea. He's speaking about when they had come from Egypt, they went through the Red Sea, God had opened that up, and the cloud, they went through and they were led by Christ. And all were baptized into Moses. This helps us understand the word baptized. They didn't get Moses poured on them. They were placed into a relationship with Moses where they were identified with him. They were identified with Moses. And he says here, in Moses, in the cloud, and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. They had every opportunity. The God of the universe was displaying his majesty and glory before them, giving them his word. And they had every opportunity to follow and trust and walk with him. But they didn't do so, except for a remnant. Nevertheless, look at verse 5, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. That speaks of their being let to die out in the wilderness and not go to the promised land because of God's discipline. And then he says, now these things happened as examples for us, that we should not crave evil things as they craved. And do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink instead of to play. Nor let us act immorally, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor, what does he say here, grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Wow. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction. Be instructed, brother and sister. Written for our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And you can keep reading the exhortation to flee idolatry and then the exhortation to go to Christ when you are tempted. Now, again, I don't have time to look at the Old Testament passages this refers to as we did last week, but we saw in those passages in Exodus and Numbers, we learned some important truths about grumbling and God's view of it. First of all, we saw that most of their grumbling of the Israelites was directed towards their spiritual leadership, Moses and Aaron, that God had placed in their midst. But we saw another important point that ultimately, although they were grumbling against them, their grumbling was against God. Moses shares with them Exodus 16:8, your grumblings are not against us, but against the Lord. And the Lord shares so too later on. And lastly, we saw how serious this sin was, to grumble about food and water and our place and all these things, right? They're grumbling about their circumstances, grumbling about their leadership. How serious it was as God took the lives of those who grumbled. They grumbled about the possibility of going into the land because of the report that came back from the unbelieving spies. And they were laid low. God had it with them. He wanted to wipe them out for their grumblings and testing in their wickedness. And yet Moses interceded. And so he laid them low in the wilderness. They didn't get to go into the promised land. They died out. Very serious. Grumbling is a very serious sin. When we are discontent over the circumstances in our lives as believers, we got sin in our lives. Now, sometimes it's because we've got God's disciplinary hand in our lives and we're not seeing it. We've made mistakes, whether it's financially, whether it's relationally, whether it's spiritually, we've made mistakes and we're reaping now. And instead of being discontent, we should allow God to train us that we would share in his holiness. Or simply, we're running into difficulties that are not of our own making, whatever it might be, and we are not to grumble. We may be running into the sin of others. I hope you've noticed that other people are sinners too, right? And everyone we know, the closer they are, the more we realize that everyone around us is a sinner. And those who are saved, they're redeemed by grace, but they're sinners. And sinners, guess what? What do? They sin. Sin against you. We sin against them. And that can cause us to grumble when someone doesn't do what we want them to do. When someone doesn't do what we think they should do, or someone does something to us which we think is wrong, whatever it might be. But we are to do all things without grumbling and disputing. It's no coincidence that this passage comes on the heels of an exhortation to think like Christ in the context of humility. The mindset of humility, a humble servant thinking of others, is more important than yourself. If you see everyone as super above you, there's not much to grumble about, because you take God first and foremost as super, super, super way above you as our God. We reverence Him and walk in fear and trembling, right? And then others, we exalt them above ourselves and our hearts and minds, like Christ did with us. He placed us above His own interests. He placed God's will above His own interest, and He was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Well, folks, indeed, grumbling and disputing reveals a lack of humility and trust, and it is the elevation of self-interest, and it's ultimately against God, and it's ugly, and God hates it, because it's ultimately against Him. It's a serious matter. We need to take the command seriously. All things without grumbling and disputing. Is there any area we have an option to do so? Maybe we have a terminal illness. Maybe we have something else. Sick, whatever it is. Those are real live difficulties that affect us to the core of our being. Do we have a right to grumble about it? Absolutely not. As we'll see later on in Philippians, we go to the Lord. We go to Him with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, making our requests known about those things. We walk with the Lord. We trust in the Lord. We rejoice in the Lord rather than grumble. Whatever it might be, we can have many temptations. Many temptations. Maybe you're in a situation where people are sinning against you. You're tempted to grumble about the situation. No. All things without grumbling. Maybe you're in a work situation where it's not good. No. Obey the word of God instead of sinning. When you find yourself complaining and grumbling, you're finding yourself in the context of a lack of humility and thus obedience to the Lord. All things without complaining and arguing. Is there any area where you've been grumbling in your heart? Maybe it hasn't gone out to anybody. If you don't repent and you're a real believer, He's going to discipline you. And maybe you're experiencing discipline right now. God is making things in your life very difficult because He loves you. He loves you and He wants you to share in His holiness. Respond. Repent. Be set free and rejoice. And then experience the peaceful fruit of righteousness. You'll know when you've repented, there's a peaceful fruit of righteousness. You'll know. You'll know when you've truly yielded your heart over in humility in the context of repentance. Do you give yourself a pass for sin? Do you have a right to grumble or complain about anything as a believer? Absolutely not. We are commanded, do all things continually without complaining and arguing.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's program, what final thoughts do you have for us?
Well, Dave, today we reviewed what the obedience of faith looks like in the lives of true believers as they work out their salvation with fear and trembling. And we've looked at the command to do all things without disputing and grumbling. And the fascinating part about grumbling and disputing is that it's an indicator of where our hearts are at. Indeed, we're tempted to sin by complaining and grumbling every day. But for the believer, we should submit ourselves to Christ and allow Him to control us so that we do not complain and grumble. So then, just as the Philippians needed to be reminded of these truths, we too need to be reminded. Now, if you find yourself complaining and arguing all the time, I would encourage you to examine your heart to see if you truly know the Lord. You see, for us to obey this command, we cannot do it in our own effort. We can only do it when we abide in Christ and allow His will and His desire to be worked out in us.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.